Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Brad, we made some promises in the last episode that I don't know that we're going to be able to keep.
I'm planning on keeping mine, okay?
Well, just 'cause I'm not rich like you.
Just because you're a cheapskate. No, I think, here's what I think. I think we're going to keep the promise, but it's going to have to be at some point when we are, like, the next time you make a trip down this way, up this, over, whatever, so that we can both get our coffee at the same time. Because while the coffee is not that expensive, the shipping is a bit of a bear.
$14 for a bag of coffee, which is fine, but $8 for shipping.
Yeah, so over half the price of the coffee.
Yeah,
just to get it to, which I mean, I get it. You know, again, in my real world, you know, I work with this kind of stuff all the time, and yeah, that's probably about where you're going to end up. You know, they're probably not making a lot of money on that. Actually,
does it really cost $8 to ship a 12-ounce package?
Oh yeah. I mean, right around a pound. So they're probably looking at some. Oh my gosh, is this now missing the shipping rate? Yeah, they're probably looking at somewhere $5 to $6. So when you add in the cost of your box, the cost of somebody having to package it, somebody having to label it, somebody having to take it, handling,
if you will.
Yes. The $8 is not insane, especially since and you notice that you're kind of running into a bottom end price there. Because when I added a second bag to my order, it was still $8.23 or whatever it was for the shipping. So, yeah, probably not going to be ordering that coffee immediately, but right. I am committed to we're going to stick this out. And by the way, Jeremy, I do think you should maybe eat a thin slice of that humble pie, because I did notice that it's going to take 5 to 7 days for your package to ship. Because it is fresh roasted before they send it to you.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I get it.
Well, you will get it at some time, but not anytime soon. So for those of you who were expectantly looking forward to the end of this coffee saga, keep waiting. But we'll put
a pin in it.
Yeah. We're not going to give you regular. Are we going to give? Are we doing coffee watch now? Please don't. Please don't.
I mean, I can.
I can start finding a lot more stories about mini Evans if you would like, and I can start making up stories about mini Evans if I have to.
Well, then I'll start pronouncing it Kafi'i,
and I'm actually
no
cool
one
with
will
that.
Listen anymore.
I'm actually fine with that. I don't have the problems. I don't have the hang-ups that you have, man.
The Kafefei.
No. Anyway, okay, so that's our coffee follow-up. Do we have more follow-up? No, we don't, because we didn't really talk. Oh, nobody told me anything about why that letter was a good idea. So I think everyone is, normally I would say everyone is just as confused as I am about it, but it's also entirely possible that no one was listening to that part of the podcast
because
they
of all the coffee
stopped
talk.
During the coffee talk. So anyway, let's not put coffee talk in this.
That letter, so I didn't put it in the show notes, but I did actually have a thought about that. I was watching Food Network Star.
You let it marinate in your bean a little bit and you came up with something for me?
Yeah, I was watching Food Network Star Sunday night. And one of the people, they were doing their, you know, whatever, 8-minute video pitch thing. And one of them messed up and apologized to the camera. And they were like, don't ever apologize to the camera. Like, just roll with it and don't draw attention to your mess up. And no one will remember or care. Like, as long as you end strong, you start strong, you end strong. It really doesn't matter what you do in the middle. And that made me think about that note. Like, you're calling attention to the middle, to the screw up. And if you just waited, if you would just wait until Toy Story Land and Galaxy's Edge are open, I know that it's multi-year waiting process, but if you would just wait for those two areas to be open, nobody would even care. Like, everyone's going to forget about this little period where Hollywood Studios is kind of light on the attractions. When Galaxy's Edge and Toy Story Land open, because at that point it'll be, you know, tons of stuff to do.
Yeah, and while I doubt a year from now we would talk about that, I could definitely see a point that comes up where we go, hey, you remember the letter?
Yeah.
Remember the letter? And you know, maybe the reason the letter went out was because it's about to get a little bit more upsetting if you're at Disney's Hollywood Studios, because not only is half the park closed, but you're actually seeing Slinky Dog Coaster going with people on it, and you can't get to it, right? Like, you're like, I've already done everything. It's now 11 a.m., and I see this new part of the park working, you know, and you see coasters testing all the time, right? That's not, but there's actually people, and they're yelling, and they're having fun, and it's not you.
Yeah, the worst part would be hearing a roller coaster in Hollywood Studios and wondering, how do I get to that?
You don't. So all of that to say that we do have something on our notes that apparently cast members, the people that I now hate because they get to do things I don't get to. That's, you know, that's the only reason that I hate you, cast members. Otherwise, I love you. But when you get to do things I don't get to do, I get a little jealous. But anyway, they're going to be doing test rides on Slinky Dog from the 14th, so the day that we're recording this, till the 18th, so the day this actually comes out? Yeah, so the day this actually comes out. So basically, over this weekend, cast members get to ride Slinky Dog Coaster.
Boo. No, is this all Disney cast members or just Disney's Hollywood Studios cast members?
It just says Disney cast members. So, yeah, I'm not sure. If it's anything like I've heard these things go in the past, it's not even like all cast members. It's one of those things where you can kind of enter to be selected to be part of it. Because guess what, people? There are a lot of dadgum cast members. So if everybody wanted to ride it, it's just not going to happen. So yeah.
It'd have a 90-minute wait.
No, it'd have like a 2-hour wait, and a 2-hour wait with nobody else there. And strangely, there's no one left to run the parks either, which is kind of a problem. But yeah, so what is weird about this to me though is we've got the cast member sneak peek, if you will, of Slinky Dog Coaster happening this weekend. Or last weekend, if you're listening to this podcast. And meanwhile, the annual pass holders are also going to get an opportunity to get Toy Story Land all to themselves, which, you know, I'm always a little jealous. For those of you who don't remember, I got to visit Walt Disney World while Pandora was open to annual pass holders, but not available to me. And gosh, right, darn it, they never let me across that stupid bridge. But I don't know that I'm going to feel quite as jealous this time around, because pass holders are getting to do Toy Story Land in September.
Which is, like, what, fully 3 months after it opens?
Yeah, 2.5, because you have to assume it's at some point during September. And it doesn't open technically till the end of June. So, yeah. If you're a pass holder, didn't you already go and ride this at some point? Ride this. Didn't you go experience this at some point? I mean, like, if I lived close enough that I could make a pass holder, you know, actually having an annual pass worth it, I don't think I would be. You know what? I've got till September. I'm going to get to see all the cool new stuff. You know, it's kind of like what Incredibles 2 comes out. Is it this weekend? Yeah,
I think tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm not waiting 2 months to go see Incredibles 2.
If somebody said you can go see it for free in 2 months.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm going to go see it now, and then I'll go see it again in 2 months, maybe.
Right.
But, like, it's not... I appreciate getting to go and see it in 2 months, but I don't really think it's the huge deal that it is when you get the sneak peek. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And so can you explain to me what exclusive access means? Will they close Toy Story Land to non-pass holders?
That's exactly what it sounds like.
That's
which is
crazy.
Yeah, so that's the other side of this though. Like, suddenly Toy Story Land is open to everybody, but and note that Disney hasn't clarified other than we've heard exclusive access, and exclusive tends Like, I don't know if that just means they're going to give you like unlimited fast pass, which basically is going to close it off to everybody else, or if they're just legitimately going to either close A, the whole park, or B, that part of the park to people. Though, you know, they could do something like a pass holder exclusive EMH or something.
Yeah.
From like 10 to 12. And I think that could work out okay, but I can't see them like saying, okay, we're closing the park at 6 p.m. or we're closing especially that part of the park at 6 p.m. for this pass holder thing, because that would like it's barely open, right? It's only been open 2.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's just, it's a very awkward sort of a situation to me anyway, to me.
Did you see, speaking of Toy Story Land, did you see BioReconstruct on Twitter? The photos he took of Toy Story Land, and then there's one specific one where Toy Story Land meets Galaxy's Edge. I'm curious as to what that transition's going to be like. How are you going to get from a spaceport to toys?
You walk, so on Galaxy's Edge, you walk into a toy store, which, you know, every outpost on the edge of Empire controlled space definitely has, because sure. In the midst of the, you know, rampant homelessness and squalor that large parts of the large swaths of this are involved in, it's toy stores, you know.
I got to get my KB toys.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, that would be totally awesome if they had a KB toys in Galaxy's Edge. But yeah. So there's going to be a toy store on that side, and on the other side, you're going to walk through this diorama, right? Where Zurg is now finally, it's basically Zurg's fever dream, right? Where he is finally in control of the entire universe, and then Darth Vader comes, slices him in half, and boom, you're in Galaxy's Edge.
Now, I did notice that they do meet up right behind alien swirling saucers. So,
oh, they're playing off that then. They're definitely playing off that then.
Like that's, I said, such a, what a, Zurg, what a transition.
Zurg fever dream. That's how it's happening. You heard it here first.
So, Brad, do you know anything about, or I guess I should say, are you familiar with Funko Pops? The little, what, like 3-4 inch tall dolls with the big eyes?
I am as familiar with them as clicking on a link in show notes and seeing a picture of them allows me. So have I seen them in the stores? Yes. But if you just like in a vacuum outside of having a link in the show notes and, you know, you describing them to me, if you just said, hey, do you want a Funko Pop on a hot afternoon? I'd be like, sure, that sounds refreshing. So not really.
Basically, these are little collectible dolls. They're made of plastic. They stand.
Are they
on their
action
own.
Figures?
No, I wouldn't
okay,
say that.
They're dolls.
I would say they're little collectible dolls. But basically, this company, whatever the company is like the smartest company in the world, because they have Funko Pop for everything. There's Disney Funko Pop. There's WWE Funko Pop. There's a Funko Pop for every movie or TV show you can think of, video games. There are Funko Pops for everything. And like just the amount of licensing and just brilliance of this company is amazing. And they just announced a Enchanted Tiki Room Funko Pop set celebrating the 55th anniversary of the Tiki Room. And it includes the Barker Bird and Pele, who is in the exterior garden. And they are great. Now, I don't really... So the Barker Bird, is that at Disneyland?
I think maybe it was at Disneyland. I don't even think it is currently in the parks.
Because I was going to ask you. Yeah, it does say the long-lost Barker Bird. But I have never... seen him, and I didn't get to do the Tiki Room before this current before this current incarnation, when I the first trip I made to Walt Disney World, it was still the under new management, I guess era.
Yes.
But it was closed when the day that we were in the Magic Kingdom, so I didn't get to experience that. And then when I went back, three, 4 years later, it had changed to the current incarnation, which is not under new management. But the Walt Disney World version of the Tiki Room has that scene outside in the fountain area with the birds and stuff. And so I don't.
Yeah, which under new management, they were Iago and Zazu's agents, if I recall correctly.
Oh, really?
I vaguely remember. I don't know. Speaking of fever dreams, under new management feels a bit like a fever dream to me. So,
yeah, from what I've seen, it was not great. But so I guess the Barker Bird, he would have had to have been at Disneyland, because Disneyland's Tiki Room is much different than Walt Disney World's.
Well, and Pele is also from Disneyland, right?
Yes. Yeah Pele definitely is.
So this is basically Disneyland Tiki Room stuff.
Right.
Not that you wouldn't still want to collect it. Just, you know, that I think both of these are specific to the Disneyland version.
But they're pretty great. I love these little Funkos, and especially Pele, because he's got a little volcano head and a little flame coming out of his head. It's pretty good. They're made to be cute. I guess I didn't really say that, but they all have, all the Funkos have really big eyes.
Okay. Can I interject?
They're made to be cute.
Can I interject at this point? Sure. I need to interject at this point, because you just said Funkos are made to be cute, and that Funko has a Disney line, and within that Disney line, I argue Funko is not always quite made to be cute, because have you seen the Figment Funko Pop, the one they did for the 35th anniversary?
No, but let me Google real quick.
And then you can retcon that, yes, of course I've seen it.
Well, yes, Brad, of course I've seen it. I mean, that's cute.
No, that's nightmare fuel. Those big black eyes.
They have big black eyes. That's just Funko.
And that works for a lot of things. That does not work for Figment.
But he's
that
smiling looks, and doing jazz hands.
I yes, mean, which is exactly what things do right before they steal your soul. Now, and if I recall correctly, I actually saw, you know, when this came out during the 35th anniversary, I saw some people who actually like colored in his eyes so that it was a black pupil in a, you know, with the white of his eye there. And then he looked great. Then he looked happy and fun. This is not happy and fun. Again, this is I'm going to steal your soul.
So, to, you know, not to make this the Funko cast, but have you seen the Incredibles Funkos?
No, are they also going to steal my soul?
They are completely white eyes, because they have black masks. So their eyes are completely white. And I find that to be a little more disturbing.
That also looks very awkward as I'm real-time Googling here. I'm not sure. So okay, but here's the thing. Like you say, Funko, this is their style, right? That's what makes them a thing. That's why it's okay that they took Figment and turned him into this nightmarish, you know, whatever. But in searching for the Incredibles, I found the Edna Mode Funko, the Edna E Mode Funko, which actually has her glasses, and they're all in white, and then very small, like, so that she can have that look of disdain going, like the half circles inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they realized, you know what, Edna doesn't look right when we just give her white glasses, so we need to put some eyeballs in there. So that means they could have made Figment not quite so scary, and they chose not to, and that, I don't know. It's just, it's odd looking to me. It's very odd looking to me.
It's the Edna Mode is definitely better than the, the fur character Edna Mode that was in the parks and then at the premiere.
Oh, speaking of things that can give you some nightmares.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my, you know what, since we're just all over the map tonight, let's just keep on, let's just keep on rolling with that. The Edna Mode character in the parks, Edna Mode is like way short in the films.
She's like a foot and a half tall.
Yeah. Yeah. But then in the parks, she's about the size of, you know, she's definitely on the small size of the furs, but she's still a small fur, and that's still
she's way bigger than a short grown adult.
Right. Like I get this feeling that if you saw Violet or Dash standing next to her, they would be the same height, yeah. Right?
Yes.
And that doesn't quite work for me. I'm just going to say.
The Edna Mode fur character looks more like they tried to give her like bedroom eyes, you know, like, and then did a really bad job. Oh, it's like that Lucille Ball statue.
Oh yeah.
You know, just like totally wrong. And
well, okay, but I think
you talking about that Edna Mode Funko just made me go, okay, well, this is at least better than that terrifying costume.
But here's the thing. I think probably one of the big issues that I have with this, right, is that, yes, the Edna Mode, the face, like there's the size thing, but then there's the fact that the face just kind of looks wrong, right? Mm-hmm. But I wonder if the reason the face looks wrong is because Edna Mode is not a happy person, right? But yeah. Disney said, okay, we're going to put her in the parks, and the Edna Mode that kids come up to can't look aloof and you know, I'd rather be doing anything else. She's got, so this Edna Mode is like softened. And so
they made her smirky, but still smiley.
Yeah, yeah. And I think maybe that's part of the problem.
I'm wondering, though, is there a character that's aloof and standoffish? Gaston in Disneyland is pretty famously...
Well, okay, so villains, you know, because you've got, like, Maleficent or...
Well, sure. The stepmother in...
Yeah.
From Cinderella.
Yeah,
she's
so...
She's mean.
So you really don't have any trouble finding them on the villain side. I don't know. Is there a friendly character that could be considered aloof? I'm having trouble thinking of one.
Yeah,
I'm going to say they don't exist. I'm going to say that they try to make them nice. And the thing is that again, that Edna Mode Funko looks great, but mm-hmm. if you were to suddenly have her smiling and have the eyes at little bit of a less of a turn and then suddenly she's going to look wrong because that doesn't look like Edna Mode.
Yeah, well, and I think part of the problem with that, part of the difficulty with that is that Edna Mode isn't really, I mean, the comedy of Edna Mode is two-factor. Her height and the words that she says. And you can't get either of those things in this fur character. She's too tall because... She has to be human-sized, and she doesn't talk. And she doesn't talk in that Brad Bird, hilarious, no capes, darling, kind of voice. And so you don't get any of the comedy that's endearing. She's standoffish in the movie, but the what she says and how she says it is, that's the endearing part.
So, two things here. Number one, we're going to have to label this episode not safe for magic, right? Because we are talking as though that's not Edna Mode. Anyway, and then number two, so what you're saying is you want the talking Mickey Edna Mode. Because thinking, you think she's nightmare-fuely looking now. Imagine when she suddenly starts walking around and her mouth is moving and she's talking to people.
No, I think that they should not have done this. I don't want a talking Edna. I think Edna Mode is a character that you cannot have in the parks.
Oh, no, I think you can. I think you can because I just figured out how you can. You want to know how to have Edna Mode in the parks? Crush.
Yeah.
Laugh floor.
I was about to say, like, push. Have her sitting in the chair from The Incredibles when she's demoing
Oh, yeah, the, yeah.
You could have her in that chair, kind of like what Beaker and Bunsen Honey do, and just have her on like a remote control Segway thing with someone doing the voice. That would work.
Having somebody doing the... What are you talking about? Are you saying that's not the real Edna mode, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, I mean, have her on a remote control car that someone else is driving.
Because it's so tiring to have to walk around the parks all day long.
Right.
There you go. Totally saved it, dude. You totally, totally brought it back out. So,
but yeah, no, I think those two types of things. You need either a non-costumed character. Or a video like Crush or Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor.
Yeah, I think that could be really fun to have that sort of an interactive experience with Edna Mode. Though I guess it's real hard to get pictures, and if it's real hard to get pictures, it's really hard to sell PhotoPass. If it's really hard to sell PhotoPass, then what's even the point, right?
I think it'd be kind of cute to have little kids asking her about superhero stuff. I'd like that.
Oh, so would I. Again, I'm totally cool if they decide to give Edna give her her own show. Edna needs a show. Or maybe
we'll have
she
to workshop
needs
that.
Maybe she needs a dance party. Yeah.
No. Okay, not safe for magic. Have you seen the little video clip of Mrs. Incredible walking out and falling down at the dance party and her face falls off.
Wait, what? Did you mean to say extremely not safe for magic?
Dude, her face falls off and it is terrible. It's real bad.
Oh wow, it's really good when Google can auto complete that for me. I'm gonna turn off the audio so that I can still hear you. I'm watching as the guy introduces. Oh my. No, that is no.
And then like,
oh my God.
Almost shamefully, she covers her face and runs away.
Dude, there are children who are going to have nightmares because of that.
Yeah.
Just imagine that if like you had brought your daughter to that and all of a sudden this character's face falls off and goes bouncing down the stage.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I bet they came up with a more secure method for that moving forward.
Yeah.
I sure hope they did. Yeah,
I think they would have.
That they did. Okay, so we've made this episode horribly not safe for magic. We have ruined Walt Disney World for you if you actually went and watched that video. Jeremy, take us away.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Until then, have a magical day.